The lesson this morning is about following Jesus. The song that we sang before the lesson and the song we'll sing once again at the invitation. And the context I want to speak on that this morning is going back to school. And this morning we will look at just a few Bible verses. I hope you'll have your Bibles ready. You'll turn with me as we read them together. It's an important time of year. It's an exciting time of year. Typically, school children go out and buy clothes, supplies, enroll in school, they have orientation, they learn about their class schedules, sign up for extracurricular activities, clubs, they're back with their friends, they're making new friends, they find out who's in their class, they learn where their locker is, all of these things. But the most important thing of all is to get your soul ready. Because many of you have been off for the summer. You've not been out in the world as much, perhaps, as before. You've not been around negative influences for a while, as you will again be exposed to. And it's time to get yourself ready to once again be exposed to such influences. The most important thing anyone will ever decide to do is to follow Jesus. Think about it. Who never had to decide about following Jesus? Adam and Eve had to decide whether or not to eat of the tree of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. Noah had to decide whether or not to build the ark so when the rain came and the flood came that he and his family were saved. Abraham had to decide whether or not to leave his home and to go to a land where God would tell him, and then later whether or not to sacrifice his son Isaac. Rahab and Ruth had to decide whether or not to leave their families and their friends and be with the people of God. Peter had to decide whether or not to deny Jesus Christ, and after doing that, whether or not to repent, and after doing that, whether or not to be a leader in the church as an apostle. Judas, on the other hand, decided to betray Jesus. He decided not to repent, and he decided to commit suicide. Everyone has to choose, and I'm calling on everyone this morning to choose. Perhaps you've never chosen to follow Jesus before. I'm calling on you to make that decision for the first time. But the majority of you have made that decision. I'm calling on you to make that decision again this morning. Turn your Bibles with me over to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. As Christians, we follow Jesus Christ. Verse 21. For you have been called for this purpose. Now get this, this is the purpose for which God calls us. What does it say? Since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in His steps. This is the decision every person in this room makes. This is the decision every person on the face of the earth makes, whether or not to follow Jesus Christ. Now what does it mean to follow Jesus? Continue with me to verse 22, who committed no sin. And that's the commitment we are called to make, to follow Jesus Christ. It is true that we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It's true that we all must decide whether to repent and to obey God and to be baptized into Christ so that our sins are washed away. And once they are, to have the commitment not to sin. Yes, we will make mistakes. Yes, we will repent of those things and confess them. And we will pray about it, asking for forgiveness. But our commitment is today not to sin. And this is the example of Jesus Christ, who committed no sin. Now look at the examples. The latter part of verse 22 and on through verse 23. No deceit was found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in turn. While he was suffering, he did not utter threats. But what did he do? He kept entrusting himself to God. And that is the decision. Not one person can follow after Jesus Christ without entrusting themselves to God, giving themselves over completely and wholly to God. Have you decided to follow Jesus at school? Are you willing to entrust yourself to God, not to your friends, not to the other people who are at school, not to the evil influences, but to God, and to live in that way? And let me ask you, Is your life reflecting that today? And that question is applicable for all of us. Every age, whether it's school, whether it's work, whatever it is your life reflecting that you are following Jesus Christ? I hope you'll give careful consideration to that this morning. Have you decided to make Jesus your role model? Some time ago, when we lived in Thomasville, Georgia, I was listening to a pregame show because this was one of the nights on Friday night when we had football. And in South Georgia, football is a really, really, really big thing. And the pregame show was done by high school students. And I was listening on the radio, probably getting ready to go to the ball game myself. And the announcer asked one of the girls who was at school, "Who is your role model?" Now, what would you say if somebody had a microphone up to you and said, "Who is your role model?" What would you say? If someone at school asked you, "Who is your role model?" What would you say? If someone at work asked you, "Who is your role model?" What would you say? This girl said, "My role model is Jesus Christ." And I was ashamed of myself because my answer was going to be something different. And that was a wake-up call for me. As an adult, a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ, my answer was going to be something different. I was not thinking within that context. What is the context in which you think at school, at work, at home, in the neighborhood, wherever you go, my role model is Jesus Christ? Do you think that way? That's the way we have to think as Christians. In verse 21, we've already read it, but let me suggest to you that this verse necessitates the fact that Jesus Christ be our role model. For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps. Who must be our role model? A role model is a person whose behavior, example, or success is or can be emulated by others. That's a role model. Who is it we are supposed to be emulating more than any other? Jesus Christ. And then let me encourage you to have it on the tip of your tongue when you are asked, "Who is your role model?" Your answer to be unashamedly, "Jesus Christ. Because I'm a Christian." Steve DeVore built a multi-million dollar business based on role models. He was in college and he was watching professional bowling. And he tried to study it just watching them. And he thought that if I watch these guys very carefully and if I go to the bowling alley and I do the exact same thing in the exact same way, that I'm going to be a pretty good bowler. After watching for 30 minutes, he got in his car, went to the bowling alley, and he bowled a 278. 115 pins higher than he ever bowled. And he got this idea that by using role models, people can watch how something is done and then successfully emulate it. And so he built a business on that. Very successful business on that, called Cyber Vision. And he has videos out on a number of different things. When you choose a role model, you are choosing to be like that person. Since Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, as we've already read in our scripture reading this morning, the one whose steps we follow, he has to be our number one role model. Turn your Bibles with me over to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. And particularly, I want us to look at verse 3. What must we do so that Jesus is our role model? Well, we have to make the decision. That's true. What else must we do? Verse 3. What we have seen, John says, and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. This is what John is saying. To have fellowship with God and with Jesus Christ, you must first have fellowship with us, the apostles. We are the ones who are teaching the Word of God. We are writing it down for you to know and to understand. Unless you have fellowship, as in Acts chapter 2, those who were baptized into Christ, they had fellowship with the apostles. What does that mean? They were doing what they said and living the way that they taught. And when we do that, when we live the way the apostles tell us in the Bible, our fellowship is with the apostles, and our fellowship is with God, and our fellowship is with Jesus Christ, and therefore we are following in the footsteps of our role model, Jesus Christ, by living the way we're told in the Bible. Turn your Bibles back over to Peter, this time 2 Peter chapter 1. And let's emphasize this point. And in verse 3, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His glory and excellence. And so I want to suggest to you it's through knowledge, knowledge of the Word of God. Now look at verse 4. For by these He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers, get this, of the divine nature. In other words, partakers of the nature of God, to be godly, to be holy, to walk in the footsteps of Jesus Christ, to follow Jesus Christ as your role model. How do we do that? We go to the Bible, we learn what it says, and we live that way. Now, very quickly, beginning in verse 5, you remember our, I guess it was our last Bible drill. We're about ready to start another Bible drill. Our last Bible drill, taken from verses 5 through 8. Well, how do we do that? Peter says, now for this very reason, also applying all diligence, that we have to understand this, that we can't be slothful, we can't be lazy, we can't be half-hearted and think that Jesus Christ is our role model. What does Jesus say? If we're lukewarm, He'll spew us out of His mouth. He does not accept anyone following in His footsteps who is half-hearted about it. We must be diligent. In your faith, supply moral excellence or virtue. And in your moral excellence, knowledge. And in your knowledge, self-control. And in your self-control, perseverance. And in your perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, love. Now look at verse 8. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, get this, we have to be diligent, we must be growing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now that true knowledge is epignosis. It's what's being talked about in verse 3. When we have that, we are partaking of the divine nature of God. Now look at verse 10. The results. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about His calling and choosing you, for as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. Now, get this, young folks. You're at school. You're starting another year. I suppose all of you have started school again. You're with these negative influences, and sometimes they drag you down. Sometimes there is temptation. Sometimes the thought comes into your mind whether or not you should follow after them and do those things which you know that are wrong and that are sinful. But when we choose Jesus Christ to be our role model, and we're into the Word of God, and we're applying it to our lives, when we're diligent to do these things, useful and fruitful, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of God is abundantly supplied to you. Let me suggest to you, you'll have the strength. You'll have the dignity. You'll have the virtue to follow in the path of Jesus Christ. Is it always going to be easy? No. Are there going to be times when you question it? Yes. But you can overcome those questions and remain faithful to the Lord, following in this path. Are you learning? Are you learning about your role model, Jesus Christ? And are you becoming more like Him? And I'm going to tell you something. It takes personal commitment. It takes more than getting up on Sunday morning and coming to church. It takes more than going to Bible class over here. And it takes more than sitting in the pew. You have to claim this as your very own. You have to take ownership of it. You have to say, this is the way I'm going to live. And your faith has to be so strong when those temptations come that you choose the right way rather than the wrong way. Are you learning more about your role model, Jesus Christ, and becoming more like Him? Are you changing your life to emulate Him better as you walk day to day? Have you decided to make Jesus your best friend? Friends are important to young folks. Friends usually are more influential in our lives as a young person than our parents or our grandparents or any other adults. And so my question is for you today, have you made Jesus Christ your best friend, the person who is most influential to you in your life? I want you to seriously think about that. Benny Nasta, a school teacher, died last week. His students were shocked when they learned about it. He died piloting a plane in an air show. Here are some of their comments. He made me feel special. He believed in me when no one else did. He understood you even though he was an adult. He changed my life. I wouldn't have gotten into college without him. He made me believe in myself. He taught me I could accomplish something. He inspired me. But the one comment I want you to pay most attention to is by Erica Haas. She's a student, class of 2009. She created a Facebook website about this man and his death. This is what she said in a telephone interview. He's more than a teacher. He was one of my best friends. And I want us to understand what it means to have a best friend. These are the people who inspire us. These are the people who make us better. These are the people who make us feel special. These are the people who believe in us. These are the people who understand us. And let me tell you who that is. More than any, that's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Jesus wants you to be his friend. I want you to turn over to this verse. I know that you know it. Probably everyone here can quote it. John chapter 15 and verse 13. John chapter 15 and verse 13. And I want us all to understand, Jesus wants us to be his best friend. John 15, 13. And I hear the pages turning, so I'm going to pause just a second. I want you to get there. I want you to look at it. I want you to read along with me, because the power of God is in the Scriptures, not in what I say. Greater love has no one than this, that one laid down his life for his friends. I want you to understand this. Jesus laid down his life for everyone. It doesn't matter if they're living in sin. It doesn't matter if they're a Christian. It doesn't matter if they never obey him. He still died for them. So what does this verse tell us in this context of the lesson this morning? Jesus wants every person that ever lived to be his friend. He laid down his life in hopes that all would be his friend. Now let's put it down very personally. Jesus Christ laid down his life for you, hoping that you would make the decision to be his friend. Are you his friend? You see, Jesus has already decided he wants you to be his friend. Now you have to decide, am I going to be his friend? Verse 14, Jesus says this, you are my friends if you do what I command you. And I ask you again, are you his friend? Song number 121, if you want to turn over there, I'm going to turn over there, and I want to read these verses. You can turn over there if you'd like to. Number 121. You probably already know the song anyway. But I want to use the verses of this song as an illustration. I'll be a friend to Jesus. Oh, Derek, might be a good closing song. I don't know. Maybe you don't have it picked out yet. I'll be a friend to Jesus. Now, we sing this song, and I suppose everybody here sung this song. Now, have you sung it with perhaps some hypocrisy in your life? Or will you really be a friend to Jesus Christ. They tried my Lord and Master with no one to defend. Within the halls of Pilate, he stood without a friend. The world may turn against him. I'll love him to the end. And while on earth I'm living, my Lord shall have a friend. I'll do what he may bid me. I'll go where he may send. I'll try each fleeting moment to prove that I'm his friend. To all who need a Savior, my friend, I recommend. Because he bought salvation is why I am his friend. I'll be a friend to Jesus. My life for him, I'll spend. I'll be a friend of Jesus until my years shall end. And now I ask you again, are you Jesus' friend? Is he your best friend? Are you willing to give your life to him as he already gave his life to you? Is your life reflecting that Jesus is your best friend? Let me ask you this. If Jesus saw you at school with your friends, would he want to be part of your group of friends? Think about that. If Jesus saw you at school with your friends, would he like to be in your group of friends? Answer that question. Two final thoughts from our song number 280, if you want to get your song books out. And we'll extend the gospel invitation in just a second. But verses 2 and 3 have very good points that I want us just to consider very briefly this morning. Verse 2, though none go with me, I still will follow. And my question for you this morning is, have you decided to follow Jesus even if you are the only one? Even if you're the only one. Though none go with me, I still will follow. No turning back. No turning back. And the next question is from verse 3 of the song. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. My question for you this morning is, have you decided to follow Jesus and to carry your cross at school every day? Have you decided to do that? I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to follow Jesus even if I'm the only one, even if there's no one else, even if everyone else is doing the wrong thing, I'm going to do the right thing no matter what the cost may be. And therefore, I have decided to carry my cross every day. Have you made that decision? My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. No turning back. That's part of the commitment. No turning back. I'll follow him. Have you decided to follow Jesus? Have you made that commitment to the Lord? To Jesus. Maybe you have. When's the last time you recommitted yourself? When's the last time you prayed, God, I promise to follow Jesus, even if I'm the only one. I promise to carry my cross at school every day. Help me to do that. I ask you to recommit yourself today. If you've never committed yourself to the Lord, if you've never committed yourself to following Jesus. If you're not a Christian, in other words, I call on you to become one this morning. Believing in Jesus Christ, repenting of your sins, confessing that he is the Son of God and being baptized into Christ, and you will begin today to follow Jesus. Think about these things, especially as we sing these words. Don't be a hypocrite. Really mean it. We can help you once you come to the front as we stand and sing.